Welcome to The Wildlife Explorer, a podcast by Essex Wildlife Trust, where we aim to inspire you with our work to protect the wildlife and wild places of Essex and what you can do to help wildlife wherever you live. Today's show is a foodie special, finding out about some of the Essex companies that are working towards putting eco-friendly eating firmly on the map. We'll be talking to Fairfield's Crisps and Barn Farm Drinks to see how they produce the products we know and love on a mass scale and what considerations are given to the wildlife that often share their farms, as well as striving for a sustainable future. Pause to look at the sheer scale of the products on offer at your local supermarket. More often than not, we're on autopilot when we enter a shop, armed with a shopping list, with the goal being to get in and out as quickly as possible, and maybe pick up a few bargains along the way. But when you really start to look around at the hundreds of rows of shelves, each lined with thousands of brightly coloured packets, you can quickly see some of the issues facing our environment today. Think about those products multiplying at every supermarket in the country and then across the world, and it becomes an issue on a humongous scale. Where do all those packets go? How many of them are actually recyclable? How much of the fresh produce on offer actually makes it to someone's house? And after that, how much of it actually gets eaten? It's a big problem, but people are becoming much more aware in their choices and also putting pressure on big companies to do more to help. More and more washing powder manufacturers are converting to recyclable packaging and using less harmful ingredients in their detergents. Plastic is being replaced by paper packaging for many one-use products. And I even saw a well-known supermarket brand turning their unsold fresh bread into frozen garlic bread for people to purchase, attempting to try and solve some of the issues with short-life products. Are these perfect solutions? No, but they are mostly coming about because people like us are requesting them. And more companies making a switch means new and better technology should become cheaper and more accessible. At the moment, brands that are choosing to lead the way are having to find methods of keeping sustainability in mind whilst being able to compete with the much cheaper costs of those who are choosing to drag their heels. Fairfield's Crisps are a big name in crisp manufacture. Chances are you've eaten some yourself. They are based in a beautiful rural setting in Essex, and from the outside, you wouldn't know what hive of activity is taking place within. We met with Tash Jones, Head of Marketing, for a tour of the farm and a chat about what they do for wildlife on their farm and how they compete in the competitive world of crisps.
I'm Tash Jones. I work at Fairfield's Farm. I'm the head of marketing. We are a family farm business who grow potatoes and make crisps, and we are in Essex, and we're sort of just between the Stour and the Cone Valleys.
Brilliant. So we're here today to kind of discuss about sustainability, all about your farm and your products. So what do you do to ensure sustainability on your farm, and why is this important to you?
So sustainability on the farm is hugely important to us because basically, we need the farm to still be here for us to keep making crops. So things like soil sustainability, things like wildlife sustainability, things like making sure that there are pollinators around, those are all really important things to make sure that there is a future in farming in the UK. So we do dedicate a significant amount of time and effort to try and make sure that we're doing what we can, and there is always more we can do. But some of the things we do, for example, when we're finished harvesting our crop, We put cover crops on the land, which makes sure that carbon is being captured over winter. It provides a bit of a shelter for wildlife, and it also manages to sort of suck nutrients back into the ground as well, because, as I say, soil health is so important to the farm. Yeah. So when we have these cover crops, it does this thing, like, it's called nitrogen or nitrogen fixing. So it pulls that from the air, pops it in the ground, and that means that next year we've got a healthier soil for the next year's crop. So our aim is to make that better and better every year. And the other bits that we do, we have over 5% of our land is dedicated to wild bird cover.
Amazing.
So over winter, what we do is we pop bird seeds out for the birds in the spaces, the habitats we've created for them, just in case there's not much that they can find themselves. So it helps them through those leaner winter months. And then when that's over, we have all these wonderful flowers and seed producing plants that pop from the ground that we've planted. So then throughout the year, there's always a source of food for them. If you'd have seen this a few months ago, it would have been absolutely magnificent, because it was full of flowers, live flowers,
yeah,
bees and butterflies and insects, and it was a real hive of activity. But now it's all going down to seed, which is also still helpful for the birds, but is certainly less exciting to look at,
say. Brilliant. So have you found that this has any impact on the flavour or the quality of your product at all?
Well, for us to have good potatoes, we need good soil. We need to have looked after it. I wouldn't say that it's something that impacts necessarily the end flavour of the crisps. It's just the right thing to do. So just behind the tree line there is the anaerobic digestion plant. So what we do at the farm is we also grow rye and maize as well as potatoes, and we sort of send that to the what we call the AD plant to become biogas energy. And the really cool thing about that as well is that when the rye and maize is used up, I guess, and has made as much biogas as it can, we then get what's left over and we get to put it on our crops, because it counts as a fertilizer, which helps us, well, it saves us money and it saves energy and effort getting it from overseas and artificial fertilizer. So it's really handy to have it on site.
So hopefully it's coming through on the podcast, but we can hear a bit of bird song in the background here. We're sat by the reservoir, which is beautiful. We can see a few birds out there. So what wildlife have you seen on the farm?
Well, we have quite a lot of breeding pairs of birds on the farm. We've got two parts of the farm. There is Fairfields Farm itself, which is this plateau, which is the airfield. So it's very flat and it has a lot of farmyard type birds. So we have huge numbers of corn buntings, which you don't often see or don't see quite as much as you should in Essex anymore. We have yellowhammers as well, which are beautiful. They've got this gorgeous yellow coats to them, and it's really lovely to see them pop through the bushes. They like to sit on the hedgerows. And we've got dragonflies, we've got, you know, obviously the butterflies, the bees and all insects as well, which we also feed using our pollinator strips, which we have on the side of fields. So dedicated space that we've put for those pollinators to come grab some munch.
Brilliant. And so it'd be interesting to know, what challenges do you face in terms of being eco-conscious in such a large scale, and in terms of the competitive market as well?
It's hugely difficult, particularly in farming, because there is this very real threat to the environment. We need to protect the environment, but at the same time, we're under all kinds of different pressures. So there's cost pressures, which we're all under. There's obviously this energy crisis. There are all of these other bits and pieces. There's the cost of fertilizer. There's the cost of the inputs to the land. Even the seed potatoes themselves, they're all going up at the same time. And it could be easy for us to go, do you know what? We're no longer going to prioritize wildlife or our habitat, but we have to have this long-term view. And we have to think, do you know what? This is the important thing. We have to dedicate some time to doing this. And it's a conscious effort. The other thing that is really difficult is that in the industry, there's a huge amount of greenwashing. So which means apparently not many people know what greenwashing means because we did a survey on it and we we tried to find out. But it's basically when a company tries to claim green credentials they have that they don't deserve or they don't earn. And we will happily say that we are not a sustainable farm because we're working to get there. So beware of any business that just says they're sustainable. We're all on this journey. We're all trying to be a bit better. But there are a lot of companies that will say that they are one thing when they're either not, whether they're outright lying or they're changing the facts around a little bit just to make themselves look better. And when we're in this position of trying to be honest, we sort of have to fight against that. But we have to have good humour about it. And we can't go such and such as lying. We have to be positive and just sort of put our own best foot forward rather than try and drag others down. So that's a challenge. You can almost smell it.
Thanks.
And you give it a sniff.
So now it goes on to our most important question of the day. What is your favourite crisp flavour?
Okay, my favourite crisp flavour is our sea salt and apple cider vinegar flavour because the apple cider, one, it's a local favourite. They're up in Suffolk from the Chevalier family. You know, they've been doing it years and years. But also, there's just this sweetness to the apple cider vinegar crisps, which the other ones don't. They're a little bit sour. So if you don't think you like salt and vinegar crisps, try these. You might be converted.
I shouldn't have done this podcast hungry. This is painful. But yeah, thank you so much for your time today. Just the final question. So where can people try your crisps on a day out or one of our reserves?
Well, at any of your reserves. So we have two brands. We have our Fairfields Farm crisps brand, and that's at most of your reserves. And there we also have our 10 Acre brand, which is all gluten-free, vegan, free from. And that's at your, I think that's at your Aberton Reservoir and a couple of the others as well. So look for Fairfields Farm, look for 10 Acre, and you should see us at all of your reserves.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Fairfield's passion for all things sustainable really shone through when we met them, and it's clear they will keep on striving to make their products as eco-friendly as they can be into the future. Plus, I can testify, they taste really good. Now it's time for our What Three Birds feature, helping you to identify some of the birds you can hear when you're out and about. As we're going to be focusing a lot on farms today, let's look at some of the birds you might be able to hear across your local farmland. First up is the reed bunting. A streaky brown bird, the reed bunting can be found in wetlands, reed beds and on farmland across the UK. Males sport black heads and a rather fetching white moustache. In the winter, reed buntings join mixed flocks of buntings, finches and sparrows to feed on seeds found on farmland. During the breeding season, males can be spotted perched high on reeds, rushes or scrub, voicing their simple territorial call. Females breed low in the dense vegetation, constructing their nests from grass, reeds and moss. Next up is the whitethroat, a medium-sized long-tailed warbler of grassland, scrub and hedgerows. It's a summer visitor and a passage migrant, breeding in many areas but avoiding urban and mountainous places. Male whitethroats arrive in the UK approximately 10 days before the females, as they have a very important job to do. They build a selection of nests from twigs and roots, and when the female arrives, she chooses which one she would like to take. Whitethroats winter in Africa, leaving our shores in early October and heading as far as South Africa. Lastly, let's hear a greenfinch. A fairly common visitor to gardens, parks, woodland and farmland, the greenfinch feeds on seeds and will visit bird tables and feeders. In winter, they form flocks with other finches and can be seen roaming the countryside and parklands for food. Greenfinches nest in small colonies in trees and bushes. In spring, they perform a display flight, showing off their yellow wing and tail patches. Between 4 and 6 eggs are produced, and the chicks are fully fledged 18 days after hatching. As well as being found in Europe, greenfinches also live in Australia and New Zealand, where they were introduced by English settlers to remind them of home. Now, another local company doing their bit to ensure their products don't cost the earth is Barn Farm Drinks, a family-run business located on the Essex and Suffolk border, overlooking the River Stour. I recently met Charlie at our Langdon Nature Discovery Centre and was able to try some of their delicious products. It was great to hear about their work to ensure the drinks produced at their fruit farm stay as sustainable as possible. And he's here today to tell us a bit more about how they achieve that.
Hi, I'm Charlie and I'm from Barn Farm Drinks. I'm going to take you through a day in the life of Barn Farm Drinks, but firstly, a bit more about who we are and what we do. Barn Farm Drinks is a premium soft drinks brand based on a third and fourth generation family-run fruit farm on the banks of the River Stour in North Essex. It all started back in 2017 when soft fruit farmers Gail and Craig Williamson, my parents, spotted a gap in the market for high quality fruit juice. Barn Farm Drinks stands out from the crowd with its high quality products, family heritage and environmental sustainable credentials. Based on a soft fruit farm, we grow raspberries, strawberries, blackcurrants, redcurrants, rhubarb and many other fruits. During the summertime, we have fresh fruits such as raspberries and strawberries for sale, as well as frozen fruit 12 months of the year, and we take all the wonky fruit and put it into our drinks to make the lovely fruit juices. Moving on to environmental and product sustainability. These are two very important factors in how we operate here at Barn Farm Drinks, with the ethos of always giving back to the environment being a top priority in our day-to-day operations here on the farm. On the product side of sustainability, all of our fruit waste is sent to an AD plant where it can be turned into clean electricity. We use biodegradable packing nuts in our online boxes, which are made out of cornstarch. These dissolve in water. All our product packaging is fully recyclable. All plastic and cardboard is baled on site and sent for recycling. Over the course of a year, we have turned 47 tonnes of cardboard, which equates to 2,766 trees, which is also 433,000 cardboard boxes. here on the farm, we make a massive effort to be as sustainable as possible. Here are some ways in which we do this. We have 24 beehives on the farm, which help boost pollination around all of our crops. We rainwater harvest off the factory roofs to help irrigate the crops. Water which is used through irrigation is recycled due to a certain amount of runoff each time the plant is irrigated. This water is recycled back into the system through drainage pipes back into the reservoir, where it will be used again to irrigate the crops. We also have 4.3 kilometres of hedgerows on the farm. These provide good habitats for beneficial species around the farm to help grow and live. We use beneficial insects to help reduce the need for pesticides. And over the course of a year, we have planted over 900 trees to help reduce our carbon footprint. This helps boost biodiversity and not to mention more trees for birds to nest in. Over the course of the year, we have also joined the Countryside Stewardship Scheme, which aims to put in more wildflower meadows. Wildflower meadows are put into fallow land to help boost biodiversity and the wildlife that surrounds it. Fallow land is land that would either be unused or unable to farm on. This scheme allows for wildflower meadows to blossom and attract a huge array of wildlife and insects, from badgers to damselflies. But I think the thing that stands out the most about our sustainability here on the farm is solar power. We have a solar array that powers our cold stores and freezers, as well as an on-site solar farm that powers 1,400 homes. The solar farm saves 2,400 tonnes of carbon emissions into the atmosphere each year. This is the equivalent of saving 8,000 trees per year. Moving on to wildlife, I thought it would be best to do this podcast in the epicentre of the wildlife on the farm, by the reservoir, which is situated between the solar farm and the rest of the farm. Here is the heart of the farm where wildlife flourishes, from birds to insects, newts to beetles, they all live here. The solar farm is 21 acres, which is a vast expanse of untouched land, perfect for breeding and habitats for the local wildlife. The reservoir provides shelter for insects and other animals to grow and thrive, from small insects such as damselflies to the dogs on the farm who love a paddle on those hot summer days. Here on the farm, we have a variety of birds, including kestrels, robins, blue tits, sparrows, and many more. The farm is also home to bees, badgers, hedgehogs, muntjacs, hares, and not to mention newts and damselflies. We ensure these habitats are well maintained by helping nature along the way, with the introduction of newt houses and beetle banks to help the smaller wildlife on the farm thrive as much as the bigger ones. A bit more about the products itself. We have 6 flavours of fruit juices and 4 flavours in our presso range. Most popular flavours being opal apple, orange and strawberry and apple in the fruit juice range, as well as elderflower and lemonade in our presso range. My personal favourite being elderflower, which gives a sweet, refreshing and summery taste. Head over to our Facebook, Instagram or website for the latest news here at Barn Farm Drinks. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, Charlie. And if you would like to try any of the products mentioned on today's show, head along to any of our Nature Discovery Centres to taste them for yourself. If you have any questions for Fairfields or Barn Farm Drinks, let us know at communications@sxwt.org.uk and we can pass these on for you. Autumn is now upon us and it will soon be time to dig out our warmer coats and scarves and enjoy blustery walks amongst the falling leaves. So let's see what else is in store this month in our wildlife wows. acorns on the forest floor are a clear-cut sign that autumn is upon us. But they won't be there for long, as amongst the trees, the acorn games begin. Acorns and other nuts are swiped from beneath the branches and stashed away for a colder day. Wood pigeons are the greediest of the bunch, who don't store them but ravish them all at once. Jays are the ones to beat, as they can hoard up to 3,000 a month, often forgetting where they've hidden them, and accidentally helping the woodland to rejuvenate. Nuthatches smash them against trees to access the delicious seed inside. As you crunch through the golden leaves, look out for oak marble galls, one of nature's best Halloween tricks. The oak marble gall wasp lays its eggs within the tree's tissue, which irritates the oak tree so that it covers them with a plant tissue. These little oak nuts provide the perfect sanctuary for the tiny wasps to grow. Look closely at the small brown balls, and if there's a little hole in them, the wasps have flown the nest. If there's no hole, the wasp is still tucked up safely within. As the days draw shorter and the little tern leave their summer lodgings behind, the autumn spectacles at the coast are only just beginning. Now is the perfect time to make the most out of the cooler temperatures and get up close and personal with some coastal creatures. An unusually low tide accompanies the autumn equinox, which this year occurs on the 23rd of September. Revealed for your eyes only are areas of mudflats, wet sands and rock pools that would usually be underwater, even at low tide throughout the rest of the year. These newly uncovered habitats are home to a number of secretive species. Look closely for little holes in the wet sand for crustaceans and mollusks, and keep your eyes peeled and you might catch a glimpse of a sea mouse. While many are flocking from the coast, European eels are embarking on the journey of a lifetime. Their destination? The Sargasso Sea in the North Atlantic, where they will spawn. Having only ever lived in fresh water, European eels make their way down the river, switching between streams and dodging obstacles by squirming over the land like snakes. Nobody knows what triggers eels to begin this journey, and although they are known to spawn in the Sargasso Sea, no one has actually ever spotted one there. Mysterious stuff. Well, that's about all we've got time for today. So until next time, enjoy your autumn adventures, and we'll see you again in October for our Halloween special, where we'll be delving into some spooky Essex mysteries and talking about the beautiful ghost owl, otherwise known as the barn owl. Bye for now.